VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, can I encourage you to stay tuned to this program? Even if you're traveling somewhere, you want to hear the full content of our program today. Call others as well. We've got some very vital information we're going to be sharing on the broadcast today as it relates to the World Health Organization and contact tracing, vaccinations, etc. You'll want to hear what we're going to be discussing today on the program here on Crosstalk. We trust you'll stay tuned. Just a couple weeks ago, we were joined by Alex Newman on the topic of COVID-19 tyranny. Since he joined us on that broadcast, there has been so much more that's developed, so much more that's unfolding. As a matter of fact, there is so much information. Alex is joining us today, and Lord willing, we'll be back again on Thursday to discuss a brand new website created by the United Nations. It's called the United Nations New World Order. Folks, it's no longer being set up in cryptic format, but the UN is being very forthright about a new world order, and they're on track to achieve that. But more on that on Thursday. We hope you'll join us. But today, we want to unpack more about the World Health Organization, more about contact tracing, more on Bill Gates, more on vaccinations, and we'll be taking a look at the isolation and quarantine guidelines laid out in Washington State. Folks, this is not some kind of conspiracy theory. These are actual state documents coming out in that regard. Joining us, Alex Newman, an international freelance journalist. He's an author. He's an educator, a consultant. You've read his articles in The New American and on thenewamerican.com. Also writes for Freedom Project Intermedia and is co-author of the book Crimes of the Educators. Alex, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
So let's begin with the World Health Organization, the WHO, which has come under great scrutiny now by the Trump administration. And so with a play on words, Alex, just to set the stage, who exactly is who?
That's brilliant. The World Health Organization, there's this kind of impression, I think, even among conservatives, that it just recently went really rogue, coming under the control of communist China. Unfortunately, this has been an organization that has represented an enormous danger to freedom, to family, even to faith, now going back decades, really going back all the way to the beginning. But now it's kind of out in the open, and that's encouraging. Thank goodness for our president. For those who aren't aware, he sent a letter to the head of the World Health Organization recently, basically accusing it of lying, of misinforming the people of the world, of becoming a puppet of communist China. And not only did he threaten not to send any more money, he's already cut off the funds. He said, we're not going to start them again unless and until this is all taken care of. He also threatened that we might even withdraw. And so I think this is the direction that we need to go in. Any other president, including among most of the Republicans who are running in the 2016 election, I think would not have had the courage and the boldness to stand up to this. But it is really a dangerous organization. I wrote an article pretty recently about the head of the World Health Organization. His name is Dr. Tedros, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's an Ethiopian. It's Ghebreyesus or something like that. And his background alone and the fact that he was selected to lead the World Health Organization should really tell us everything we need to know. The guy, before becoming the right-hand man to the mass-murdering communist dictator of Ethiopia, was a member of the Politburo, the governing body of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which was a self-described Marxist-Leninist organization classified by our government as a terrorist organization. And also it had a kind of an interesting twist because it was an ethno-Marxist terrorist organization. It was for Tigray peoples who have kind of vendetta against other people groups within Ethiopia, and they have a long and very, very nasty track record. And the fact that this guy could end up running the World Health Organization, I think, should really be a red flag, no pun intended.
We can really go back to early March here, Alex, when this Director General, Tedros Ghebreyesus, said no one has immunity to COVID-19 and then made some very alarming claims as to the number of deaths. And it's those claims that threw this entire world into a shutdown, including our own country. And now we have the CDC's latest best estimate of the COVID death rate. And Alex, it's about 13 times lower than their initial claim of the World Health Organization. Now, how could their models be so far off?
That's right. And, you know, there's really only two options. Either they're incompetent, they're ignorant, they're idiotic, or something else is going on. There's a deliberate agenda here. I'm inclined to believe that there's a deliberate agenda here. You know, it's very clear that the communist Chinese regime had a lot to gain from, you know, getting the world stampeding in this kind of frenzy, shut down all our economies. The economic damage that has been done, not just to the United States, but to the entire global economy, is incalculable. We're talking trillions and trillions of dollars worth of wealth vaporized, millions of years of human life knocked off as a result of these shutdowns. And, you know, we're expected to believe that it's just, you know, a case of confusion. They didn't know what they were talking about, and frankly, I'm not convinced. And it's also interesting that you pointed that out because, you know, for those who aren't aware, the head of YouTube, her name is Susan Wojcicki. She went on CNN a few weeks ago and said that anything that goes against World Health Organization recommendations was going to be a violation of their terms of service and was going to be removed from their website. So I guess that now means the CDC can no longer speak through YouTube. That's interesting. But, you know, we need to recognize that the World Health Organization is not just a harmless body. These are people who are influencing policy around the world. These are people who are influencing what you can and can't see, what you can and can't hear, what you can and can't say on social media. We need to be very, very concerned about this.
As you mentioned, Alex, President Trump, he's put the World Health Organization on notice. I mean, he's given them 30 days to reform, or he's going to make our temporary funding freeze permanent, reconsidering our membership in the organization. Can this organization really be reformed? What would look like a World Health Organization that has met the goals set forth here by President Trump?
You know, I don't believe that the World Health Organization can be reformed. In fact, just like the rest of the United Nations, I believe it's doing exactly what it was intended to do, which is, you know, advance the cause of tyranny, advance the cause of globalism around the world under various pretexts. So right now the pretext is human health. You know, before that the pretext was environmentalism, right? Coming soon, the pretext may once again be equality, right? So they've always got these pretexts, and they've got different UN agencies that play different roles in this. But I think the World Health Organization and the broader United Nations system were set up with these goals in mind. And it's not just speculation. In fact, we know this for a fact all the way back to the beginning. You know, you had the first Secretary General of the United Nations, Alger Hiss, who was supposedly representing the United States. He was the chairman of the group that created the UN Charter. And then, of course, we found out he was also an agent of Joseph Stalin, one of the worst mass murderers in human history, who ruthlessly persecuted the church. Even that John Foster Dulles, you know, very, very significant figure in American history. He was Secretary of State. He was a delegate to the UN conference that created the United Nations. And he wrote in his book, War or Peace, that the purpose of the UN was not to be in its final form yet, but to serve as the nucleus for a future world government, which he said could be brought about through the existing UN Charter. And so the role of the UN World Health Organization in that is to serve as kind of the global health ministry. They reject the Bible. They reject the truths that are contained in the Bible. And, you know, God's word and God is sovereign over all things. And so we need to assume naturally that if they reject the Bible, if they reject God, then their prescriptions for our health are going to be worse than worthless. And, of course, that assumption would be correct when you actually look at the fruits from this thing. So.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Alex, you've mentioned here the World Health Organization tilted in China's favor. China's foreign minister this past Sunday said that Washington is pushing relations with Beijing to the brink of a new Cold War. Is that the trajectory we're on?
Yeah, unfortunately, this has been going on for a long time. It's nothing new. You know, the establishment would like Americans to believe that this is Trump's fault. In fact, that the narrative has now been being pushed for several years now that Trump is the one responsible for Communist China taking over the United Nations. Now the Communist Chinese want to believe that Trump is responsible for the deterioration in relations. The only reason that this is happening now is because Trump is the one trying to put a stop to these things. In fact, Clinton, as we know, even from our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff spoke out on this, Admiral Thomas Moore, Clinton handed them all of our most sensitive nuclear and military secrets. George H.W. Bush played a huge role in building up communist China and bringing it into the world system. Bill Clinton also allowed them into the World Trade Organization. And so I actually interviewed the man who served as Assistant Secretary of State for International Affairs at the State Department in 2018 and 2019, Ambassador Kevin Moley. And I encourage people to go read that because he had a lot to say. In fact, he said this has been going on for a very long time, that the Chinese have been running all these UN organizations. Even when they're not actual members of the Communist Chinese Party, you know, they may be from another country, they're still loyal to the Communist Party of China. And now Trump is trying to put the brakes on this, and so now suddenly the Chinese become hostile. Well, the only reason they weren't hostile before is because the leadership, the political leadership of the United States, was giving them everything they wanted and then some. So why would they be mad?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to segue into the tracking mechanisms going on right now with COVID-19. We know China, Communist China, has been very, very effective in tracking their citizens. But now we understand, Alex, in a majority of states, if you test positive for COVID-19, you're going to find your name in a government database. And this data reportedly is then forwarded to firefighters, EMTs, and even police officers. Should there be a concern?
Oh, there should be an enormous concern. I encourage people, we just put an article up online at the New American a few days ago on this contact tracing scheme that they've got. This is Orwellian beyond anything that Orwell could have even imagined. It is just incredible how far they're going. They want to build a system that will track everything about everyone, who you know, when you last met, where you last met, all these data points, supposedly to keep us safe from coronavirus. And then once you start just digging a little bit under the surface, you see the organizations involved in this are all tied to the Clintons, to George Soros, to Bill Gates. They are creating a system that will enable total surveillance of the entire population, bringing in technology that will be installed on your smartphones, bringing in humans that would be doing the actual contact tracing. And then, the World Health Organization, to come back to the WHO, their director of emergencies, his name is Michael Ryan. I've got the video. He actually went out and did a press conference, and he said that they're going to do this contact tracing. And what he said, it should have sent a shiver down all of our spines. He said, most of the transmission now is happening in the home at the family level.
Oh my.
And so what we're going to have to do now is go into the homes. We're going to have to send the contact tracers into the homes and remove family members from their own homes. Same thing the governor of Washington's been talking about. They are literally planning to come in and take people's children, separate parents from their children, under the guise of keeping us safe from coronavirus. And, if we're going to draw a line somewhere, and I hope we will, this might be the place to do it.
Alex, we know that you mentioned the cell phones, smartphones. We know that there's a huge initiative underway for this contact tracing. Many people who have iPhones, they just received a message from Apple about a new update. I believe it's iOS 13.5, speeds up access to the passcode field on devices with Face ID when you're wearing a mask, but also introduces it's called the Exposure Notification to support COVID-19 contact tracing apps from public health authorities. We understand this is to enable future contact tracing apps to work when downloadable, and that Google is also getting involved with this.
That's right. All the big technology companies are involved. You also have some very, very shady organizations involved with this. Partners in Health is one of the key ones. They've already signed the contract with the state of Massachusetts to do their contact tracing there. And I hear the bumper music, so maybe on the other side we can hit
it. Yeah, we're going to pick up more with this on the smart technology here after the break. Alex Newman is with us. The website, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. More information after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us today. He's a freelance journalist, author, educator, consultant. His articles are often appearing in The New American. And Alex, I know when you were with us here a couple of weeks ago, you talked about the free download that was available, and also people could buy a print copy of that special report that you had, Freedom is the Cure on Coronavirus. We understand all those print copies of the entire magazine are gone, but people can still download the free the magazine for free in that special edition report. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. So anybody who goes to thenewamerican.com, if you scroll down just a little bit right under the featured articles, you'll see a banner ad, and you just put your email in there, and we'll send you the PDF of the entire special report on coronavirus called Freedom is the Cure. And then also for people who subscribe to the print magazine, it comes out twice a month and delivered right to your doorstep. We already sold out also of our May 18th issue, which the cover story is Forced Vaccines and Digital IDs, which are all coming down the pike as a result of coronavirus. And so we're doing a special reprint where we're going to reprint those two relevant articles. And anybody who subscribes to the print magazine will get those with their first issue absolutely for free.
Okay, so they can either go to the website or call. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. So it's thenewamerican.com, or there's also a phone number that people can call if they would like to order over the phone. You know, we know some people don't use internet, and that phone number for anybody who is interested is 1-800-727-TRUE. That's a T-R-U-E, 1-800-727-TRUE, and you can subscribe, you can ask questions, whatever you need.
Okay, Alex, let's get back here to the smart devices. As we're seeing this new download that just went out by Apple, Google's getting into it as well. And I also saw, and we're going to have you finish your comments on that, but also with this, we've got Apple insisting, well, each user, you're going to have to make an explicit choice to turn this technology on. You'll also be able to turn it off. It does not collect location data from your device. It's not going to share the identities of other users to each other, Google or Apple, but then it also says data will be given to public health authorities if their apps meet specific criteria, around privacy, security, and data control. So I don't know if you can have it both ways here, but comment further here on the smart devices.
Yeah, I think people really should be paying attention. I think people should be very, very concerned. There's multiple companies and organizations that are involved in this space. And I highlighted a few of them in my recent article that's at The New American Online, that's thenewamerican.com. One of those organizations is called DiMaggi, and they proudly announced that their partners include the Gates Foundation and the World Bank, and they have a technological, an app that is put onto your cell phone or your smart device, and it's based on World Health Organization protocols. In fact, they brag about that, and it is used to track you, to track everybody you know. Then you have another one called Partners in Health, which is already working in the state of Massachusetts and working with other states as well. And among their partners are George Soros and, of course, his Open Society Foundation, which has been really waging absolute warfare on the church. He funds fake Catholic groups promoting abortion. He funds fake evangelical groups promoting open borders. He funds fake Orthodox groups in Eastern Europe promoting globalism and homosexuality. So we know he doesn't have the best interests of the church at heart. Another partner of this organization is Bill Gates, and actually Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of Bill and Hillary Clinton, is on the board of directors for this organization. And so the technological tools that are being rolled out in conjunction with the contact tracing, and we talked about that a little bit last time I was on, HR 6666,
right.
Which they want to hire 100,000 government agents to go around and interview everybody, track everybody, build these huge databases of who knows who and when they met and all that. All of this is coming through, and I think the great majority of the American people don't understand the implications of this. We're talking about the end of privacy here. And when you add to that the fact that they're talking about coming into our homes and separating our families, it really adds a whole new dimension and a whole new level of urgency to this whole issue.
You brought up the name of George Soros, and I saw an article recently on WesternJournal.com. It was an interview that Soros did by the people at Project Syndicate, and he said this: "This is the crisis of my lifetime. Even before the pandemic hit, I realized that we were in a revolutionary moment where what would be impossible or even inconceivable in normal times had become not only possible, but probably absolutely necessary."
Yeah, and I've seen those exact statements that he made. It's incredible how they're so out in the open about it. You know, yeah. I know on Thursday we'll talk about the UN New World Order website that they've created. You know, even just a few months ago, if we had said that these people were working on these things, we would have been ridiculed, yep. We would have been smeared, we would have been called conspiracy theorists.
Tinfoil hats.
And all these other things.
Yep, tinfoil hats.
Now they're saying it.
Yep, it's right out there in the open. So this technology, evidently they're saying, though, that these new updates, that it's not the app, it's when people will voluntarily download an app that would, if they don't turn off privacy settings, that would be there. But you're saying people need to wise up as to what's going on here.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I think everybody needs to really think about these things, you know, in terms of how comfortable you are with the technology and what your limits are. You know, I made a personal decision early on during the, you know, the rollout of the smartphones that I was not going to participate. I don't have a smartphone. I never have had a smartphone, and Lord willing, I never will have a smartphone. I don't need it. You know, I use a little flip phone. It does what I need. I can even send texts if I need to, but I don't need the internet in my pocket, and I don't need a GPS tracker for Google to be able to share my data with Lord knows who. I just don't need that stuff. My life is quite adequate without that. And, you know, for other people, you know, they need their smartphone. Okay, fine. But you need to think about, at what point have they gone too far? Is it when we start getting into Bill Gates and the Microsoft patent, WO2020-060606, where they're going to install technology under your skin that's going to coordinate your cryptocurrency allocations and your body activity? Is that too far? You need to start thinking about these things, because you don't want to have to make a split-second decision when the guys show up on your doorstep or when they tell you you can't go back to work without such and such technology. You need to pray about this. You need to think about it. It's coming down the pike. It's no longer speculation. It's no longer theory. They're telling us that this is where this is all going.
We're going to, you referred to Washington State a bit ago. We'll get there in a moment. I want to first stop off in Minnesota, because right now we understand there's a petition drive going on in Minnesota where citizens are urging the governor to order his health commissioner to immediately rescind the requirement that all hospitals provide the government with personal information about their patients. Alex, according to Citizens Council for Health Freedom, that the near real-time data to be transformed, to Minnesota Department of Health includes names, addresses, birth dates, symptoms, diagnoses, age, gender, race, ethnicity, city, zip code, county, a facility, admission date, and time that they were admitted, potential census tract data. I mean, how far is too far in all of this?
Yeah, and the irony, too, is incredible, right? The school will tell you that they can't tell you anything about your child because of HIPAA laws. Maybe we can
yes.
get an abortion. Maybe we put them on puberty blockers. Maybe we're injecting them with hormones. But, hey, privacy laws, we can't tell you anything about your children. But now, suddenly, oh, we don't need privacy anymore. We're just going to share everything with the government. So, the laws nowadays seem to work very nefariously, right? They're never anymore to protect people. They're bendable. And, again, you know, privacy is so important. Our founding fathers in this country, they thought it was so important that they actually enshrined it right into the Bill of Rights, right? You're not supposed to bust into people's homes. You're not supposed to search through people's papers unless you have a warrant signed by a judge based on an affidavit with probable cause. You know, the founders thought privacy was very important, and for good reason. People act differently when there's no privacy, and privacy is absolutely fundamental to individual liberty. So we need to get back to this understanding. It should be in healthcare. It should be in our internet habits all across the board. Privacy is important, and what's happening in Minnesota and what's happening around the country and around the world is so far beyond what I think an average person would consider acceptable. We really need to have a national discussion about these things.
Well, from Minnesota, let's go to Washington State. Many are concerned, as you know, Alex, by these policies they've put in place known as isolation and quarantine guidelines. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Washington State, I think, is one of the most extreme examples in the United States about some of the abuses that are happening. In my article on contact tracing, I actually quoted directly from the governor, and we have a link to the video where he says these things, because some of them just sound so amazing that you couldn't even believe that somebody would actually say these things. But they are now establishing emergency quarantine centers. We have job postings from the state of Washington where they're looking for large numbers of Department of Children, Youth, and Families employees to, quote, supervise and support children that have been removed from their families as a result of coronavirus. He gave a press conference where he talked about highly trained government agents and even the military would be leading the charge on this. He actually brought on a lieutenant from the National Guard to talk about how this was going to go down. And he bragged. He said, it's just great to have these people who understand discipline and the importance of following orders. And, you know, what they're doing now, again, they're talking about separating families, right? They're talking about if a parent gets coronavirus or if a child gets coronavirus, they're talking about coming into the home, removing families, members from the home. They're talking about quarantine centers. And we actually just interviewed a state representative from the state of Washington, Matt Shea, who for a time was the leader of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives there, talking about, you know, they might say that these are voluntary for now, but at some point they're going to flip the switch and make them mandatory. So, you know, in the space of just a few months, we have gone from a relatively free society to a society where, you know, even some of the Soviets would have freaked out, you know, 50 years ago would have freaked out seeing the kinds of things that we're seeing now. Just completely arbitrary exercise of power. It's actually chilling.
It is chilling. And when I look at, you know, what Matt Shea spoke to you about, he says, because we're told, voluntary, but they're voluntary until they be, until you say, no, I don't want to do this, then they become involuntary. So if you do not comply with the request for voluntary quarantine, I may or will sign a detention order enforced by the police to ensure your compliance. We're going to make you willing.
That's right. And, you know, the government uses the word voluntary oftentimes when they mean no such thing. And you know, another perfect example is the income tax. tax is voluntary, but you'll find out very quickly if you don't pay it how voluntary it is. So when they talk about voluntary this and voluntary that, we need to understand that, you know, this is not what a normal person thinks of when they think of voluntary. They are quite literally talking about stripping you of all your freedoms, supposedly on a temporary basis, under the guise of keeping you safe. And, you know, history has a lot of precedents. Once people give up their freedoms, it's not easy to get them back.
Yeah. And, folks, again, I'm looking at documents right now from the Department of Health from Washington State. It's doh.wa.gov. And there you're going to find what they have, this isolation and quarantine guidelines and forms. You're going to find isolation and quarantine forms and resources, options for initiating quarantine or isolation, local health officer request for voluntary cooperation. And, look at this section. Local health officer order for involuntary isolation or quarantine. Here's what it says. Likely to be used when not as confident that the individual will comply with a voluntary request for voluntary isolation or quarantine, or when the health department or the local health officer believes the formality of the order with police enforcement and fine would be better ensure compliance, or there's no time or ability to secure a court order. Person ready to leave the jurisdiction need to impose quarantine on a weekend or at a night, and no prearrangements were made to locate a judge in emergency. Alex, this is really striking at constitutional rights.
It absolutely is. And you know, these kinds of abuses now in different shapes and sizes and forms are happening all over the country. In Chicago, for example, they've now started threatening churches that one bureaucrat alone might decide to condemn their property if they choose to open up their church in violation of the governor's orders. And it got really intense after Donald Trump said churches are essential and governors should stop interfering in their ability to open. And so the city of Chicago in Illinois said, you know what, we'll send people there and we'll have your property condemned. It's incredible, this arbitrary exercise of power. And last time I was on, a few weeks ago, you know, you actually read the definition of tyranny.
Yes.
And what we're talking about now.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have to stop right there. We'll be picking up on the other side. This is Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us today on the program, and I've got several things I'd like to mention. First of all, they do have that free download on their site, the Coronavirus Special Report, Freedom is the Cure. Go to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. They also are, some of the articles, they have just, all the print articles are gone, but they're going to a reprint. And for the new subscribers to the magazine, they're going to be sending this out with the next edition. You can connect with them at 1-800-727-TRUE. That's 1-800-727-TRUE. Folks, I'd like to also invite you to go back to our website. On May the 12th, we interviewed Alex on the topic of COVID-19 tyranny. That's what we're going to pick up right now. But COVID-19 tyranny, it's worth listening to that entire program because we did get into the House Resolution 6666. We talked about this new patent as well from Microsoft, Bill Gates, the 2020-06-06-06. We got further into that issue as well. Alex, let's pick up with us. We were just talking about tyranny here because that's exactly what we're seeing played out before our eyes.
It really is, and if you don't mind, I'll read the definition real quick, just straight from dictionary.com. Tyranny is defined as arbitrary or unrestrained exercise of power, despotic abuse of authority. That's the very first definition for tyranny listed at dictionary.com, and that is exactly what we're facing right now. You know, we're no longer dealing with rule of law. We're no longer dealing with the traditional legislative process where our elected representatives get together and the House and the Senate have to agree and they pass the bill and it goes to the governor. The governor signs it and it becomes law. And, of course, those laws all must be compliant with the supreme law of the land, which in the United States is the Constitution. We've gone way past that now, and we're at the point where governors are just acting, to quote my governor here in Florida, Ron DeSantis, he says these governors are acting like little dictators.
Yes.
And they're forgetting that people have rights. And you know what? Our founding fathers were very clear. The government didn't give us our rights. They said it was a self-evident truth that God had given us our rights, and they also said that we established the government to protect our rights. So we're so far beyond that now. And, you know, if we want to pass a decent world on to our children, if we want to let them enjoy the same liberties that we grew up with, we have got to get serious about these issues because, again, lots of precedents out there. Once freedom is taken away, once it's gone, it becomes extremely difficult to get it back.
Before we pick up with vaccinations, how do we do that, Alex? You said we have to get serious about this. How do we take that feeling we have inside and put it into action in a meaningful way?
Yeah, that's such a good question, Jim. And you know, I think the answer is going to look different for everybody, but there are some things that everybody can and should do. One is obvious, vote, right? We were blessed to be born in a self-governing constitutional republic, and as the kings and queens of this land, we have an obligation to exercise that authority responsibly in a biblical way, and so, you know, we need to do the basics of citizenship, which is to be informed voters. We need to protect our children. You know, God has given us a lot of commands in terms of how we deal with, raise, and educate our children. And I challenge anybody to read the scriptures and then, you know, continue saying that Caesar ought to be educating their children, especially when Caesar wants to teach them transgenderism and homosexuality starting as young as kindergarten. You know, I think there's a real disconnect there. And so I think that's something that every parent can do. Take charge of the raising and the education of your own children. You know, our founding fathers were almost all homeschooled for the most part. Some went on to get, you know, some college degrees and things, but they had phenomenal educations. They created the freest, greatest nation in the world, and they did it with reliance on God and with, you know, their education at home from their families and sometimes from tutors and from the church. So those are very obvious things. We also need to educate our friends and our neighbors. You know, we know that CNN is not going to tell you these things. Mm-hmm. The television is just not reporting honestly what's happening, and so that means we have a responsibility to inform ourselves and then to share that information with others. One thing you can do, listeners, is go to the website for Crosstalk. I think it's vcyamerica.com/crosstalk. Share these messages with your friends, with your neighbors, with your pastor, with the elders at your church. You can get a subscription to the New American Magazine, and when you're done reading it, pass it on to your neighbor, pass it on to your family, your son, your wife, whoever. So lots of things everybody can do, and I think, you know, we have an obligation to do these things. And as you read through the Bible, you see over and over and over again these instructions God has given us. One that really has been on my heart for many, many years is Ephesians 5:11. I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. You know, other translations use the word expose them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we need to expose and reprove evil. So those are just a few ideas, Jim.
Alex Newman with us today. Again, the website, thenewamerican.com. I'd like to take some time about the vaccination issue. And many were stunned when they heard about this Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz. And I'm looking right now, article, this one, it's picked up by many. I'm confident you've done it at newamerican.com. But it says, this is an interview that he did. And he said, let me put it very clearly, you have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business. He was being interviewed. Jason Goodman said, asked if he was saying that if the government decides you have to be vaccinated, you have to be vaccinated. He said, absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. Your response, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't usually like to be so blunt, but that's nonsense. It's ridiculous. You know, if the government has the right to inject anything they want into any person they want, we are no longer free men and women. We are slaves. I mean, we're worse than slaves. It's absolutely preposterous. And it's also nonsensical from a pragmatic point of view as well. If you truly believe that vaccines are as safe and as effective as they are claimed to be by the peddlers of vaccinations, then people who are unvaccinated pose absolutely no risk to people who are vaccinated. If it's going to really give you immunity, you have nothing to fear from people who have not been vaccinated. So the entire premise is ludicrous. And then you add to that one more factor, the fact that back in the 1980s, the big pharmaceutical companies, the vaccine manufacturers, lobbied Congress successfully to get a bill passed that made them completely immune from any liability having to do with their vaccine products. That means the vaccine can be literally rat poison. I mean, they can literally kill your child with rat poison, and there is not one thing you can do about it in terms of holding that company accountable in a court of law. The best you can do is sue the federal government, and you know what it's like to go up against the resources of the federal government. They have trillions of dollars. They have many of the nation's best attorneys in this kangaroo court called the vaccine court, where you might get a little payout. Billions and billions of dollars have been paid out now. We know that vaccines are not as safe as we have been told. In fact, the World Health Organization, interestingly enough, just in November, and this came out in the Associated Press, admitted that most of the polio in the world today was actually coming from the polio vaccines. This is almost a direct quote from the article citing the World Health Organization. So there's a lot of concerns here. And then you add one more thing to that, Jim, and that is the fact that for this coronavirus, the vaccines they're working on are using completely new, completely untested technologies like this RNA. And I'm going to be working on an in-depth article about this soon because we're in uncharted territory here. But what they're talking about is actually rewriting your DNA, your genes. They're talking about injecting nanotechnology into your body that would go in and change the coding, the language that God used to program your body and all the things in it. This is very, very dangerous. And Bill Gates has been promoting this, too. Actually, I have an article right in front of me that he wrote in Foreign Affairs, which is the main magazine of the Council on Foreign Relations. I call that Deep State Headquarters here in the United States. It's called Gene Editing for Good, and he talks about this technology that literally edits people's DNA. And these changes are permanent, right? They pass on to your children and to your grandchildren. This is incredibly dangerous, in my opinion. And frankly, if we don't have a choice on these matters, we don't have a choice on anything. We have got to resist this idea. I think Mr. Dershowitz is 100% wrong. if nothing else, the Ninth Amendment protects my right. The Hippocratic Oath protects my right. And in fact, during the Nuremberg trials, one of the big things that the Nazis were getting in trouble for was for medical procedures and medical treatments on people against their will without consent. So we need to go back to that, and we need to be absolutely clear. The individual's body is under their control. You know, all the pro-choicers, all the pro-abortion people, my body, my choice.
Yep,
well,
yep.
You know, there you're talking about murdering a baby. At least when it comes to what goes into our body and the bodies of our children, that needs to be up to the individual. Thankfully, Trump has been clear about that as well. But I think some of these governors we're going to have a real issue with here going forward.
Yeah. Also, Alex, you wrote recently, too, here's a headline, Bill Gates blasted as vaccine criminal in Italian parliament. Bill Gates right at the center of things, all things vaccinations here.
Yes, he is the world's largest financier of vaccination programs, technologies, and research. And I encourage people to go read this. This Italian member of parliament obviously did her research. Her name is Sara Cunial. She's a MP, which is a minister of parliament. And she gave a seven-minute, almost impassioned speech on the floor of parliament. And she talked about a lot of things. You know, the World Health Organization, one of the things she talked about was they ran a sterilization program in Kenya masquerading as a tetanus vaccination program. We actually covered that in the New American. It was almost completely ignored by the mainstream media. But what happened was the Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association got hold of these vaccines that the World Health Organization was distributing, and they sent them to laboratories all over the world. And what they found out was that they were laced with sterilizing agents. We know even back in the 1960s, the Rockefeller Foundation was funding research into ways of sterilizing people with vaccinations. They found one, and that was to put HCG, it's a hormone that women need for their body to be able to carry a pregnancy to term. And what happens when you inject it in combination with a vaccination is the body treats it as a hostile invader and develops an immune response to it. And so women then become sterile. They're not able to carry their pregnancies to term. So I do encourage everybody, go watch that video. Go to thenewamerican.com. You can read my article about it. The subtitles under the video are accurate. And, people need to know these things. So.
As you mentioned, President Trump has said vaccinations, they're, from his perspective, they're going to be voluntary. And yet we also know that the U.S. has ordered some 300 million doses of coronavirus vaccination as this is being developed. We know that there is an all-out effort to have him removed from office. The governors are taking an opposing viewpoint on this issue. And so that causes many to ask the question, are these voluntary vaccines going to be made mandatory?
Yeah, and you know, there are very powerful forces that do hope to make this mandatory. In fact, Bill Gates has said over and over again on television that we're never going back to normal unless and until virtually everybody on the planet is vaccinated.
Mm.
Now, just keep a few things in mind. Remember, these are experimental technologies. This RNA vaccine that they're developing, which added fun fact, is being based on the cells that come from victims of abortion. Right? They're literally using cells from abortion victims to produce these vaccines. Completely experimental technology, never been used in any vaccine before. And, you know, in a best case, maybe they'll study it for a few weeks or a few months before injecting it into everyone. Well, what happens if 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line, there is some catastrophic consequence to having injected these? And everybody on the planet will suffer this. I mean, it is unheard of. It's absolutely outrageous. And I think as free people, we need to resist with every fiber of our being. If you want the vaccine, talk to your doctor, do your research. You know, that's your business. But don't even think about trying to force it on your neighbors. It's just wrong on so many levels.
We're going to take a quick break here. Friends, we have time for a question or a very brief comment. Pick up your phone. Call us 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you've got a question for our guest today, Alex Newman, Lord willing, he'll be back on Thursday. But pick up your phone, give us a call or a brief comment, 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute, this is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The destruction of the family. It's been a goal of the cultural Marxist for, well, a few generations now. And why? Because they understand that the family is the incubator for passing on the values that maintain a constitutional republic and our liberties and our freedoms. John Adams understood this on an entry dated June 2nd, 1778. He said, quote, "The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. How is it possible that children can have any just sense of the sacred obligations of morality or religion if, from their earliest infancy, they learn their mothers live in habitual infidelity to their fathers, and their fathers as constant infidelity to their mothers," end quote. In other words, they understood that the value of right and wrong, the laws of nature and nature's God, the foundation of a constitutional republic, must come from the family.
Friends, are you understanding of the times in which we live? Are you understanding of them? Understanding what is going on in the society around us here and the importance of our being salt and light in such a time as this? Certainly those aspects of being involved in the voting and contacting your congressmen and your governors on all of these issues that we've talked about and being informed on these issues. But also, folks, time is short here on this earth. We need to be advancing the gospel, advancing the good news. And certainly that is the true 100%, well, it's an impact that needs to happen upon every individual life, is coming to know Christ as Savior, and that's critical that we be sharing that in such a time as this. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Connie calling in from Delavan, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your show. I try to listen to it every single day, and I'm just, like you just said, you know, we're living in, you know, the time is short, but in your heart of heart, don't you think that Jesus will come and rapture us before it gets to that level of, you know, snatching up our kids, forcing the immunizations? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Connie, let me just say, and we're going to have Alex respond, but keep in mind, we see what's here going on in the United States, but Alex, they're doing things just like this in China right now.
That's right, and thank you so much for the call, Connie. I am absolutely confident that we will be raptured before God's wrath is poured out on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, if you look back through church history, you'll see that for 2,000 years, our brothers and sisters have been ruthlessly persecuted all over the world in virtually every culture, with the one exception of the United States as this kind of bastion of, you know, Christian principles, biblical principles, and religious liberty and toleration. You know, our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago were fed to lions. You know, in China today, in North Korea today, the things that happened to our brothers and sisters in Iran today, you know, are just appalling. And, you know, we've been very blessed, I think, in America. I don't think a lot of Americans understand how blessed we have been to enjoy these freedoms. They're very unique in human history. And, you know, I don't think we can take for granted that Jesus is going to get us out of here before things get bad. He may. You know, I can't say for sure either way. Mm-hmm. I know he will come for his church. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But I am convinced that his people all over the world will have to endure trials and tribulation and, you know, very, very tough times. Actually, the scripture tells us that the Antichrist system will wage war on the saints and, you know, will overcome them. So I think a lot of us are going to be in for some seriously tough times in the days ahead, but you know, we need to have total confidence that you know, God is sovereign and he's going to come out on top. He already is on top, and so I think that should be a source of comfort to us. But I do think the church in America needs to be prepared for things to turn in a negative direction before this is all over.
Connie, keep in mind, Jesus said that in this world ye shall have tribulation, but he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so our trust and confidence is in him, even as times are challenging and difficult. Thank you for the call. Lisa is next. Go ahead, Lisa, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is, when I contacted my representatives and my governor and my senators, it's almost like you have to have fire to fight fire. So under the guise of public health and safety, that's why these measures are being put on us. So what do I say? What do I say to my neighbor who says, well, but this vaccine is going to protect the community. It's going to protect our children. Hmm. What do I say?
Yeah, that's a big question. We could talk about it for an hour. You know, as far as the vaccine goes, you know, I think if people believe that, you know, if people pray about it and they believe that, and they talk to their doctor and they believe that that's going to be beneficial for them, well, you know, it's not my place to tell them what to do. But, you know, I think as free individuals created in the image of God with our own individual agency, that needs to be a choice. And, you know, if people believe they're going to be protected from the vaccine, you know, it's not our place to tell them they can't or they shouldn't take it. But it is our place to say, I have an individual right not to have somebody inject something into my body without my permission. And from a public health standpoint, you know, I think a lot of these measures that they have taken under the guise of public health have actually been absolutely catastrophic for public health. You know, you have suicides now off the chart. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, so many health problems that are coming as a result of this shutdown. When really, when you look at the numbers, this virus was not all that dangerous. Now, that's not to say that the next one, you know, COVID-20, which I'm already hearing about, might not be more dangerous. But even still, you know, there's never a good excuse to surrender our liberty. And as our founding fathers said, you know, it's just as applicable to this question. You know, those who expect to give up their liberty for a little temporary safety will end up with neither liberty nor safety. And I say the same thing about public health. Those who expect to give up their liberty for a little bit of public health will find out very soon that they're not going to have liberty or public health. And this coronavirus lockdown, I think, is a perfect example proving the point.
Yeah, and that's not an end-all, Lisa. There's so much more that can be said on this issue, but we're going to have to leave it there at this point. Linda's calling from South Dakota. You're on the air, Linda.
Yes, thank you, Jim and Alex, for everything you do. God bless you both. Alex, my question to you is, what is their plan for those of us, like you said, who do not have a smartphone, do not have the internet, and are like kind of like off the grid?
Yeah, well, they've got contingency plans for that, too, and I think that is at least part of the explanation for why they're talking about hiring at least 100,000 contact tracing agents. There are some individuals, including members of Congress, who have talked about the need to hire 300,000 of them. You know, the amount of data they're gathering, even on people who think they're off the grid, is absolutely enormous. And, you know, their eventual goal, and they, actually in Agenda 2030, they repeated, I think, five or six times just in the text of this global agreement, we are going to leave nobody behind. And by nobody, they mean nobody, not one person, not one tribesman in the Amazon, not one pygmy in Central Africa, not one homeschooled kid in rural Montana. Nobody, they hope, is going to slip through the cracks here. And I think they're serious. So, you know, I think the individual agents that are being hired now to help this process along are going to be a big part of that.
Thank you for the call here, Linda. I'm looking at the clock. We have less than 30 seconds left. Alex Newman, our guest. I apologize to others on hold right now. Lord willing, Alex will be back on Thursday's program as we tie so much of this together, as the UN is now being very forthright about their establishing a new world order. Alex, for those who'd like this information here, articles written on this issue, give us again the websites and how our listeners can be involved.
Thank you so much again for having me on the program, Jim. And anybody who wants more, go to thenewamerican.com. You can subscribe there to our daily headlines or to the print magazine. And, you know, again, we'll be on again, God willing, on Thursday. And thank you for having me, Jim. Thank you to the listeners. God bless you all.
And, folks, thanks for joining us. Alex Newman with us here today. Share this information that you get with us. Send a link here from crosstalkamerica.com or get a CD and send the CD out to others and inform them about these issues that are going on. Lord willing, Alex, be back with us here on Thursday. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.